hymn Bibles, pew Bibles. Isaiah 60, 1 to 6. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will rise above upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. And from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him, and calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their country by another road. I was thinking about how the best way to see stars is when the sky is really, really dark. So out in the middle of nowhere where there's no bright cities nearby, no bright lights, no Targets or Walmarts. In Flemington, New Jersey, where we used to live, or we raised our children, that you probably know this, there's a section of the highway with car dealership after car dealership after car dealership, and you could see the lights from several miles away. It did not make for good stargazing at our house. In order to best see the stars, there has to be no distractions or anything to get in the way or dim down the beauty of the sky. Once we traveled to Arizona with our children on a family trip, and we climbed up to the top of this hill far away from the lights. And it was so true that the stars were so much bolder and brighter and just bigger up there. I wonder if perhaps that is true with God as well. Perhaps it's easiest to see him when other distractions can be put aside, when we can give our full attention to him, when other shiny objects aren't grabbing our attention. I imagine that this was true for the wise men, that they saw the star leading them to Jesus because they weren't distracted by other earthly things. Because if it wasn't that way, then I have to believe that there would have been a traffic jam getting into Bethlehem that night. For some reason, the wise men got it, right? Not because they knew Jesus or knew that Jesus was the Son of God, not because Mary and Joseph were old friends from their hometown. As far as I can tell, there was no perceivable earthly connection between the wise men and the Holy Family. All it says about the wise men is that they knew through a prophecy that the baby was to be born King of the Jews, but lots of people knew that part. It was a prophecy. So it makes me envy those wise men in a way. They trusted their gut, which said that there was something special going on in the world at that time. Something really big, something life-changing, and they wanted to be a part of that. They wanted to see it for themselves. And so they went out to this dark spot in the desert and they saw God, or at least the star that was going to lead them to God. Now, this may not seem astonishing to us until we consider that they fully lack the appropriate spiritual doctrine and family upbringing that these wise men don't bring to the table. They don't know who Jesus is. History gives them literally no reason to desire this God laying in the straw. And they don't come when the others come. They wait days, weeks, maybe years. We don't really know. In my last church, this is why you wouldn't see the wise men at the manger until days after Christmas. They would travel up the side of the church, resting in each windowsill each week until they symbolically made their way to Bethlehem well after Christmas. I think that this story reminds us of the different ways that people come to God. The different timing for some people, the different means that we may use, the different reasons that we want God. And God welcomes them all. He says, come and see the Christ child, the child who came for all of you. Even those who don't begin to understand the concept of God. Of course, we have to face the other side of the story when we read this passage, I think. And the other side of the story is to say that none of the said religious people noticed this star leading them to Jesus. None of the rabbis, none of the Pharisees, the very people who have been waiting their whole life for this moment, miss it completely. I picture some of them standing outside their simple home saying, honey, you should come see the stars tonight. They're really bright, different somehow. But never once does it occur to them that maybe this bright star is telling them something. Never do they think that this star may lead them to the God that they crave. They missed it. And if we're honest, most of us would have missed it too. What an odd way to usher in Christ with the bright star in the east. But that's how God is. Isn't he? Sending signs that are easy to miss if we aren't paying attention. I think part of the problem is that we count on God to make things painfully clear, which path that we should take, what decision we should make, what's wrong, what's right. If you're like me, you'd really like a memo in the mailbox. But if we're honest, epiphanies usually aren't that clear, are they? As much as we would like that memo, it's more often the case that we get some confusing something that we can't quite pin down. A something that requires our reflection and our prayer and even a little angst to figure out. Even the wise men stopped for directions in Jerusalem, not sure exactly where they were headed. And when they finally get to Bethlehem, I wonder if they're wondering why this king is a baby, or a toddler maybe at that point. And why have they been brought here to this spot at this time? I wonder sometimes if they even doubted that they should have come at all. And yet they journey on, offering their gifts, kneeling at the side of this baby. And the scripture says that they're overwhelmed with joy. Overwhelmed with joy. This faith that they know nothing about, the impact of this baby that they can't begin to comprehend, these poor parents, this strange setting, and yet they are overwhelmed with joy. Talk about people who are open to the revelation of God. I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I'm going to say that I don't think the star was the only thing that brought the wise men to Jesus. In fact, I think the star was more confirmation than anything else. An affirmation for a journey that was something, somehow, deep inside of them. A journey they somehow just knew they had to take to a king that they just knew they had to meet. The wise men see the star because they are looking for the star. They are stargazers by trade. And they simply know that this star is different, that things are about to change, and they trust in that sign. Today, as you leave worship, you are each going to receive a yellow star. Have you guys ever done Epiphany stars before? Oh, good. As you leave, you're going to receive a little yellow star. And on the star, there will be a word. And no two people have the same word. This Epiphany word is yours alone. And I want you literally to consider it an epiphany. Hang it up somewhere in your home where you will see it every day, whether that is the refrigerator or the bathroom mirror or the radio in your car. Somewhere you will see it every day. When you receive your star, some of you will chuckle at the relevancy of the word. One year, as I was leaving my first church, I did these stars, and Jim got the word change. That seemed about right as we were embarking on a new adventure, moving to a new state, a new church, a new call for me, a new school for our son. Everything was going to be new. He thought, how ironic. But some of you will receive a star and find yourself saying, I'm not sure what this means. We had a woman in our old church who wanted to trade hers in, and I told her that was not an option. But I want you to trust me that you will know in time what your word means. It may take till next November. We had a man at our old church who stood up. We asked people to stand up as the year went along to discuss how their word had impacted them and what their word had meant. And this man stood and said, my word was, I think his word was giving. And he said, when I got my word, I thought, well, I'm like, I'm a really giving person. Like, what more do I have to give? He said, I was thinking. And he said, so I put it in my house and looked at it every day. And a few months into the year, his wife had a horrible stroke and their life was turned completely upside down. And he suddenly had to let other people help him, and he had never, ever had to do that. And so what he realized is his word wasn't about him giving, it was about allowing others to give to him. So you have to be open to what your word might mean. But I promise you that God will do something in your life this year that links back to your star word. I told Pastor Jeff about these Epiphany stars, so he knows the challenge that I'm giving you, and I'll leave stars for he and his family as well. And I'm going to encourage him to see if a few of you can share, as we did at my past churches, something of where you saw God in these words as the year goes by. I'm going to take one too, and you will as well. I wonder what kind of opportunity these words will be for you and I. I wonder how well we will be able to see God's epiphanies in our words. Will we, like the wise men, see it? Or will we simply say, well, look at that bright star up there. I wonder what that means. Probably nothing. Epiphany is a celebration of God's presence breaking through as a light in the darkness. Our call, our job, our responsibility is to see that light, to act on that light, to share that light with others. Go and share that with the world. Amen.